Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
I don't know how much time we spend thinking about God and all the words and ways that we would describe him, but I love what Paul writes to Timothy here, and he says, "This king is eternal." This king is eternal. Of his kingdom, there is no end. He is an eternal king. No matter what it may look like in the world, he is an eternal king. We'll talk more about this as this series moves forward. We see that he is immortal. Eternal, immortal. Always has, always will be. Invisible. The only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. With this verse in mind, come back with me to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. And I want to go to chapter 1 of Colossians. And we'll look at it down in verse number 16. Colossians sits right in front of Thessalonians. Colossians chapter number 1. We'll look at it down in verse number 16, page number 1407 in my Bible. You get there, say amen. Well, we're going to back up to verse 12 so we can see it in context. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, are proper, fit, and suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. If you've been born again and you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have been translated into the kingdom of God. When Nicodemus came to Jesus in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, he came asking him, inquiring of this master teacher, and Jesus cut straight to the chase, and he said, Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot enter. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus taught that the only way to enter the kingdom was to have two births, a natural birth and then a spiritual birth. When he said that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit, he said, marvel not over what I have said unto you. To enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. That's a spiritual birth. When you accepted Jesus Christ, when you were born again, according to Jesus in John 3 and according to what we just read right here, you were translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that means you've been purchased, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Notice about Jesus here. Who is the image of the invisible God. Read that part out loud. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, by Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and what? Invisible. Whether they be thrones, thrones visible, thrones invisible. Whether they be dominions, visible and invisible. Whether they be principalities, both visible and invisible. Whether they be powers, both visible and invisible. All things, both visible and invisible, were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. When you think about the kingdom of God, when you think about God's original plan, when he established man in the earth, man was created with a purpose. We'll go back and look at it just for those of you that haven't seen it. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 1, and I want to drop down to verse number 26, just so we can see this in Genesis 1:26. So when God created man, he created him with a purpose. There's not one person under the sound of my voice, and I'm talking to you right now, that does not have a purpose. Every one of us have a purpose that is significant to the kingdom of God. Now watch this in Genesis chapter 1, and we'll look at it in verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And let them have what?
Dominion.
That was the first gift God gave man, was dominion. Let them have dominion. But notice where the dominion is. Notice what they have dominion over. Dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, in the image of this invisible God. He created he him, male and female, created he them. So an invisible God who is King eternal, come on somebody, an invisible God who is King eternal, immortal, invisible, all wise. Y'all remember the word we read in 1 Timothy? Huh? We wasn't reading it just so we could have opening text. We were reading it so we could apply it to everything else that we were getting ready to read. So let me quote it one more time. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God be glory and honor forever and ever. And then somebody on the back row said, amen. Amen. So remember that we read that he is King eternal, invisible, immortal, the only wise God. To him be glory and honor. This invisible king, this invisible God, in Genesis chapter 1, made man in his image. Made man in his image. This invisible God that could not be seen and would not be seen of man in the earth made a man in his image and then gave him dominion. That means God on planet Earth was going to use man to advance his kingdom. That this invisible God would use man to bear his image. With that in mind, go with me to Psalms, and I want to go to the 8th division. I'm just going to lay a little foundation here, and then we'll put it all together. It's kind of like buying a puzzle, and you know, it'd say 100 piece, or it might say 500 pieces. And you dump the puzzle pieces out on the table. Then you start, you know, scrambling to put the pieces together beginning at the border. We're laying all the pieces on the table. And then by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, we'll put the pieces back together and we'll start with the border, all right? Watch this with me in Psalms 8. Let me just inject some things as we unfold this. What if you were the only representation of God your neighbor ever saw? What if you were the only Bible your coworker would ever read? What if what God wanted to do in somebody's life, in your life, he wanted to do it through you, but you didn't know you were significant? You didn't know you had a purpose. You didn't know that you had been honored by an invisible kingdom to advance his will in the earth. And so you're walking in the world and of the world, not knowing that there's a divine call and purpose on your life. And because you're not sensitive to that, you're walking around just doing life, but not fulfilling the purpose that God has had for man since the beginning. Watch this in Psalms 8. When you get there, say amen. And we'll look at it starting in verse number 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Read that part out loud. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The question is not just what is man that you have man on your mind. The question is how amazing are these thoughts that you've been so mindful, that in your wisdom and in your knowledge, you have placed together this plan that involves man, that's centered around man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Read that last statement out loud. And has crowned him with glory and honor. The word glory comes from the word kabod. It represents the weightiness of God, the heaviness of God, the essence of God. The glory of God is the revelation of God. The glory of God is when he manifests himself, or he reveals himself, or he shows himself. We wouldn't need the word glory if God were not invisible. But because God is invisible and we don't know what or through who he might make himself known, the right response to an invisible God making himself known, the right response is glory. That's why that word exists. It exists to say God has revealed himself. God has made himself known. God has manifested himself. Glory. Glory is the only true biblical spiritual response to a manifestation of God. So put all this together. When the invisible God that we cannot see does something that we know could have only been him, that is worthy of the response, glory. Hallelujah. Now, I have not seen God with my eyes. I have not heard an audible voice with my ears. I've heard his word, I've heard the voice of his spirit, and I have heard him in my heart, and I know that he has orchestrated so much in my life. And though I have not seen God with my physical eyes, I cannot deny and would never deny his reality because of the times that he has manifested himself in my life in a way that could have only been God. Glory to God. So when Jesus showed up in the Gospel of John, the second chapter, and he's at this wedding, and he's not yet worked any miracles or made it known that he was the Son of God, and he's at this wedding, and they had run out of wine, and the mother of Jesus says, hey, you know, whatever he says to you, do it. And he told the disciples to fill these pots with water, and when they poured the pots of water out, wine came out. And the Bible says this in John 2. It says, and listen to carefully what it says. It says, and with this beginning of miracles, I'm gonna say this part again. And with this beginning of miracles, he, Jesus, manifested forth his glory. In other words, he looked like a common guy just showing up at a wedding, until he worked this supernatural miracle that they knew could have only been God. And the Bible says with that, he manifested forth his glory. He let them know, I'm not Joseph's son. I'm not just the son of a carpenter. I'm not this guy you knew from Nazareth. No, I am the Son of God. And the working of miracles, not just that miracle, but all of his miracles, he used to show forth his glory, to reveal himself, to make himself known. God desires every one of us to fulfill our purpose. And when our purpose is fulfilled, I hope you don't miss this. When our purpose is fulfilled, God is glorified. See, that sounded like a simple statement. It sounded so simple, but that may be the most powerful statement you could ever live by. That when I am fulfilling my purpose, God is glorified. In other words, when you stopped and helped that person on the side of the road and they were praying to a God they may not even know. When they were praying to a Jesus that maybe they had heard about, but actually do not have a personal relationship with, and then you pulled in behind and say, hey, let me help you change this flat. And they say to you, you just would not believe what this means to me. I didn't know what I was doing, and I just not able to change this flat. And I literally just prayed just now that God, if you are real, would you send somebody to help me? And then you pulled in, and now you brought God glory through that person. See, once we understand our purpose, purpose, then we live and move and do everything we do to see others glorify God. I want my life to bring him glory. What am I saying when I say that I want my life to bring him glory? I'm saying that I want my life to be a picture of this invisible kingdom and this loving God that man may have never seen. I want to represent him to you. I want you to see his love. I want you to know his power. I want you to know his goodness. And I'm willing to be used by him and fulfill my purpose that you bring him glory. Whether you know him or not, is my life bringing him glory? See, until our lives bring God glory, we have not fulfilled our purpose. Until our lives bring him glory, we have not fulfilled our purpose. But what the world is trying to do is to prevent us as believers from fulfilling our purpose in bringing God glory, in silencing our prayers, in silencing the name of Jesus in our mouth, silencing the word of God coming out of our mouth. The world is doing all it can to silence believers so that we don't fulfill our purpose in bringing God glory. But notice here in Psalms 8 that God crowned man with glory and honor. Glory was the original coat that man wore when Adam was made. He wore the glory of God like I'm wearing this jacket right here. You hear me? Well, better than that, all right? But when man sinned, when he sinned against God, he lost his glory coat. You with me? That's what drove him into, you know, into hiding, to sew those fig leaves together to hide himself, because sin gave him a consciousness that he had not had before sin that made him aware of what he had lost. He had lost the glory of God, his original covering. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory." I can't bring God glory in sin. I can't bring God glory cussing somebody out. I can't bring God glory when I'm stealing from folk. I can't bring God glory when I'm cursing folk, hurting folk, hating folk. I can't bring God glory when I'm in sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thing is, many people know that verse, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But many believers don't know this verse, which they need to have equally. Colossians 1:27, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Say that out loud. Christ in us, the hope of glory. In other words, the glory that I was separated from by my sin, I've been rejoined to by Christ. Jesus has given me the opportunity to once again be reunited with the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It is the essence of who he is. It is the disclosing of who he is. From the name that he gave in the Old Testament, Jehovah, which means revealing God. That was a name that he gave. It meant revealing God. That's why so many names were attached to it. Jehovah Jireh, he revealed himself as a provider. Jehovah Rapha, he revealed himself as a healer. Jehovah Nisi, he revealed himself as their banner of victory. Jehovah Shalom, he revealed himself as peace. Jehovah Rohi, he revealed himself as a shepherd. Jehovah Shammah, he revealed himself as ever being present. Jehovah Sitkanu, he revealed himself as their righteousness. So as God would reveal himself, they would tag a name to Jehovah because they just came to know God in a way they had not known him before. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Maybe in your life right now, you can say, man, 5 years ago, I only knew this about the Lord. But since then, he has revealed this to me, and he's revealed this to me, and he's revealed this to me. And the more he reveals to you, the more you can demonstrate who he is.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.